and welcome to From the Rookery End. It's a brand new year. My name is John. With me is Michael.
Happy New Year.
And Jason.
Good evening and a happy new year.
Yes. And as always, and it has been for 14 years, this is our take on life as a Watford fan. And it's one of those games yesterday, Mike. It was for a first game of the year, you know, like I think is a defining game of the year. The fact that fans had to travel an awful long way on New Year's Day. I'm assuming a few had some hangovers. And the fact that they went all that way and they didn't lose is very important. Yeah. But I think the best thing about it, that even though it was a draw, we scored last. I think if you want to get the equaliser, you don't want to score three and then let three in. You know, you want to get the last goal. That's just that satisfaction.
Yeah, and I think it's important is to potentially start the podcast with a big old hat tip. The best part of 1,500 went there. If you're going from here, it's what, four and a half hours there, four and a half hours back, and to take 1,500 fans down there, I think is absolutely superb. And I've been thinking over the last couple of weeks, really, as we've had those great results away at Blackburn and Hull and Preston, what a reward it is for those fans who are able and willing to go week in, week out to those away games. We don't get to as many as we'd like for a whole host of reasons, but there are plenty that invest such an inordinate amount of time and effort in following the Hornets. And to have those wins was brilliant. And also, like you say, John, to be rewarded with just an absolute barnstormer of a game, really, wasn't it? It had the lot. All the goals, really, were good. It's one of those rare games when you watch the opposition goals and think, do you know what? Fair enough. Decent goal, that, if you avoid the defending leading up to it. The finishes were all really good. So I think if you take away the rain, it would have been not the perfect away day, but it sort of sums up Watford's season, I think, so far. It sort of doesn't really progress us massively in the table, but entertaining and enjoyable. And I think on the whole, that's what the season's been, certainly for me so far anyway.
The Brigadier, Colin Mace, made the trip down to see the game at Plymouth. He's got a nice little cottage down there, so I think he had New Year's by the sea and drove round to Plymouth to watch the game. And, of course, it was 3-3. What did he think about the game? He sent us his dispatches after the 3-3 draw away at Plymouth.
The headline takeaway, John, for yesterday, everyone was saying it, is summed up beautifully by this phrase, football is fun again. After the miseries of last season, we have a team that wants to play attacking football, wants to score goals, seems to be revelling in each game that they play. And it was really, really good fun, and there were some great finishes. Kone's finish for us, it was a great volley for their first goal from a header away from a corner that just sort of crept in. But it was just a beautiful technique. And both teams really went for it. But interestingly, my takeaway sort of tactically from the game is that both teams had quite a lot of talent in the sort of final third, but both teams looked very vulnerable defensively. And I tried to analyse why we've conceded 9 goals in the last 4 games and scored 7, which of course is one of the reasons that football is fun again, because those are the games you want to be at. I took my friend Julian with me, who I stayed with yesterday, and his 2 grandchildren. 2 boys had never been to a live football match before. I mean, their eyes were the size of saucers by the end of it. If you look at it tactically, you have to say there's an element of risk and reward in the way that we're currently playing, and the risk seems to be outweighing the reward when you consider we've conceded 4 and 3 in 2 of the last 4 games, which is not good enough. There's an element of kamikaze about it. So we had Martins and Chakvetadze as the wide players to begin with, and Andrews and Morris playing as fullbacks. I mean, the fullbacks were very often ahead of the 2 wide midfielders. They're just up the pitch constantly. And what that means is we became very vulnerable to transition. And time again, they would win the ball off us, and there would be one pass into midfield and then another pass, and their centre forward would be through. Porteous and Hoot and Livermore, who obviously is our defensive midfielder, they're great players and they've played well for us, but what they lack is pace. And I think teams do their research and they go, well, there's not much pace back there. They're letting their fullbacks fly forward. And so if we can win the ball and make a couple of passes, we can be in behind them and they won't catch us because we're quicker than them. And the Plymouth forwards were fast, athletic, agile, and they had good techniques. Why they scored, their goals were, they were good goals. Their second goal was a bit unlucky. He hit it with his right. He hit it with his left, and Hamer saved it, and it came out and hit it with his right and it went in. And the third goal, again, was just from a breakaway, and he just pops it in the corner. A very good finish. I would say that on the balance of play, we probably deserved to win the game, although I think a draw is probably a fair result. And once again, key standout players. Kiembe, brilliant again, and sadly we're losing him now. Chakwuteze looked okay, came into the middle later on when Espria came on and Martins went back to his more favoured left-hand side. I was completely wrong about him playing on the right. He looks out of sorts out there because his game is to cut inside. And when he's on the right and he cuts inside, he's on his wrong foot. So it was much better when he went back over to the left and he can cut inside onto his strong foot. But I do think that there has to be an element of balance between whether we throw the fullbacks forward that much and leave ourselves exposed, because both Andrews and Morris are quick. They've got more pace than the three chaps I've mentioned. And the outstanding player again was Hamer. In the last 10 minutes, last 15 minutes, he made some absolutely key saves, which got us the point. A couple from a free kick, one from open play. And he's really growing into the role. His distribution is not great at times. We gave the ball away a lot in our own third, in our own half, when we didn't need to. He kept hitting this flat ball into Rajovic, and I'll just talk about Rajovic in a second. But he kept hitting this flat ball into Rajovic, and they were intercepting it and winning it in dangerous areas. We've got to sort that out. You're now asking goalkeepers to play as an outfield player, and some of them are good at it and some of them are not so good, and Hamer is somewhere in the middle, I would say. He's got to improve, because if we're going to do this playing out from the back, we cannot afford to give the ball away. And before the first goal, we gave the ball away two or three times, gave them chances to score. They hit the bar, I think, and eventually they got one. And you could sort of see it coming, but it was because we were trying so deep, trying to get the ball out and keep it. And sometimes maybe it's just better to go long. But that brings me on to Rajovic, John. Rajovic is no use to us. That's clear. Particularly if we want to play in the way that we're playing. We're not playing a form of football where you get it out wide, cross it in, and there's a big dollop up front to head it in. We're not really playing that. We're playing more of a passing game, playing through the lines, trying to get it wide, yes. But then to cut inside, play it through the middle, score goals. He doesn't do anything. He can't head a ball. For a man his size, he barely ever wins a high ball. He can just about trap it. Ollie Wickham said he couldn't trap it when he arrived at the club. He has now learned how to trap it, but he hasn't learned how to turn with it. So sometimes you have players in the team, John, who we love, who we know aren't great. The Lloyd Doyleys of this world, if you like, the Devon Whites. But the fans kind of are affectionate towards them. Let me tell you, there was no affection for Rajovic. He gave the ball away again and again. He traps it, he tries to pass it, he gives it away. I'd rather see Healy. I know Healy's not necessarily completely fit. He came on, played for 20 minutes or so, looked all right. But this man offers us nothing. He doesn't offer us any outlet. It's just becoming more and more frustrating as he seems to be going backwards rather than improving. So yes, takeaways. Football is fun again. Hamer is growing into the role as goalkeeper, made some amazing saves. We'll miss Kiembe, but apart from that, it's all good. And away days are fun, and we're all enjoying the goals, not enjoying the ones we concede, but we enjoy the ones that we score, and we never think we're out of a game. And that's the difference. Heads don't go down, they keep running, they keep going, we're fit, the changes, the bench is working well, and it always looks like we can get back in a game. So, yeah, football's fun again, John.
Been a bit of a bumpy Christmas, hasn't it? Can't sugarcoat it. The number of points that we've picked up has not been as we'd have hoped. Having come off the back of a tough run of games where we have picked up a decent return, probably better than we expected. I suppose a 3-3 draw away from home, you know what I always say, but you have to win your home games to draw your away games if you want to be at the business end of the table. But yeah, 3-3 draw away from home, it's good. It's not the first time either, is it? It reminded me, we played Plymouth early on in the Boothroyd promotion season. And that was a 3-3 draw at Plymouth, if I remember rightly. I think we came from 3-1 down. It was almost the birth of Ashley Young that day, I think, if I remember correctly. And that sort of kick-started things that season. Of course, we know how that ended. So the omens are good, aren't they, for a start? you say about was it lucky? I don't know. You've got to do your defensive work as well as your attacking work. Going forwards, we did what we needed to do, scoring three goals. Defensively, yeah, we, like you say, we conceded some good goals, but there were also periods of sort of throwing bodies on the line. Hamer made a couple of good saves. Yeah. So the guys didn't sort of stand around in the weather thinking, oh, I don't want to be here. They were putting sort of bodies on the line at times when they needed to and worked hard for, not for a clean sheet, but to only concede three against a team. I don't know, I wouldn't say Plymouth have got nothing to lose, but at the moment they are without a manager, aren't they? They've just lost Schumacher to Stoke, who we played in the game before. Free reign seems like the wrong word, but just looks like they're having a bit of fun playing for the guy who's sort of looking after them at the moment. Is it Juice Snip, I think his name is? And having a good go. They ran lucky, I think, at Southampton in the game before. So they've obviously got their heads up. So, yeah, I think you can sort of walk away from that and say, that's a decent result. It could have been a lot worse.
I think it's the archetypal. It decides what sort of fan you are, how you come away from that. You could either be half glass full or half glass empty. And I think what you were kind of alluding to, John, and Jace mentioned it there, is it shows this continuing spirit that this Watford side and this Watford squad has. Awful conditions, a long, long way away from home, going behind twice, managing to haul themselves back into it twice. There's plenty of times this season where we've watched a game and gone, last season we'd have lost that. And this is probably another example of that. So I think it's a great illustration of the team spirit and the ethos and the effort that Valerian Ismail seems to have got out of this side. And that is a definite positive in terms of just on a base level, enjoying watching your football side again. That delivers that more often than not. As Jason has said, the results have been really, really patchy since those great away wins. But there's always been something to talk about. We've always come away from games, apart from that Bristol City morning at home you mentioned, John, come away with something to sort of talk about, discuss and be relatively pleased about. But on the flip side, you have to, and absolutely the conditions do make do have an impact here. They were absolutely atrocious. But on the flip side, we're playing a team who's at the lower half of the table, and the defending has been really, really bad. I mean, you watch just the highlights back and you can see, I'm not going to single people out, but we all know that what Ryan Portis does. He flies in and he does a lot of great work further up the pitch, but he flies in and misses your tackle and you're a man down for the counter-attack. And that happens a lot. And we've seen the defensive unit be a little bit slapdash, haven't we, over the course of the season, really. And to be conceded, to score three away from home, you want to be taking potentially more than a point. So you have to say that there are still concerns over the defence. They did dig in, and there were bodies flying in everywhere, and that commitment's there to see. But they're having to get themselves out of situations, having got themselves into situations. Ben Hamer has once again, away from Vicarage Road, had to make a number of really, really good saves. But then again, and I know we're going to look at performances of players very, very shortly over the course of the season, but he's been beaten at his near post again. There's another one that's gone in that perhaps, had he been a bit smarter, he could have stopped. So if, like I said, glass half full, glass half empty, loads to be encouraged about. But I think that defensive situation is, it's just causing us regular issues, isn't it? And if we can somehow tighten up there, then we could be in for a really, really good second half of the season. But I'm actually glass half full, not like the people who went to Plymouth who are glass half full of rainwater. But I'm really looking forward to the rest of the season, because the portents are good for entertainment and for us walking away from Vicarage Road or Home Park or Loftus Road in a couple of weeks, sort of thinking, yeah, that was all right. I enjoyed it. And coming from where we've been, that's half the battle, I think.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. So we, as Mike sort of said, we're going to do like a half-term report, halfway, just past halfway through the season, look back on the players, give them a grade. But mainly it's a good time to do a bit of a grading. This isn't like a final grading. It isn't the end of it, what they could improve on. But we're going to sort of go through the squad and you know, a little bit of a look maybe at how that does influence. Yeah, we did have a chat before Christmas about the transfer window, but has things changed slightly with the importance of where these should, maybe these signings or whatever they are, signings, loans, you know what it's all like, these modern days of footballers, bodies through the door. What is more likely? And we've got some gradings for you. Now, I remember on many occasions, I did get the odd, you'd be amazed, Michael, I did get the odd D, and how cutting that was. So we've actually named all these, they still A, B, C, and D, but we've named them. So D is disappointing, must try harder. So it's not like the end of the world. C is can't really complain. You've had moments, good and bad. A B is better than expected and better every week. And A is just awesome. Have had an awesome start to the season. And of course, a star is amazing. I'll tell you right now, no one's going to get an A star because, you know, it has been a good season, but we know what a Watfordy good season from, as we've said, from where we were before. So I'm going
to tell you
what
we should do, John. We should award an A star to the travelling Watford supporters. How about
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. The A star goes to the Watford fans, the travelling Watford fans. Do you want to go, Mike? Do you want to go from A to D or D to A?
Let's go bad news first, shall we? Let's tear the Band-Aid off and start at the bottom of the pile.
Two we've graded as a D, therefore disappointing. First one is Daniel Barkman, and the other one is Imran Loser. Loser, I think, quite obviously, a massive, massive letdown from many, many, what we hoped he would be and what we know he can be as well. And he's had a couple of minutes here, there, since the last international break. He had his bad behaviour, of which he was punished for. He hasn't done much else. And that's, well, the jungle drums and the rumour mills and all the rest of it, from what you can see on Instagram, think he's going. But Bartman's, I suppose, the hardest one, where we're going to place him. And I know if you look, and I've seen him at several Junior Hornets events, his conduct in those is brilliant. But I suppose the fact that he got sent off again for the same reasons again, Mike, and hasn't sort of done anything to get himself back in as a first choice being the club captain, you just have to say at this point in the season, it's been disappointing.
It has been disappointing. Just to touch on Imran Loser, and this is going to be an open question for people perhaps maybe to respond on socials or whatever. Has Imran Loser been dealt a bit of a duff hand? In as much as does Valerian Ismail see him fitting into the way this Watford team plays? And that's why his minutes have been limited. Definitely there's an attitude problem. I think we've seen him on Instagram and all that sort of stuff. Anyone that's switched on as a Watford supporter will know the issues with Imran Loser. But I just wonder whether actually he's been allowed to play the way that Imran Loser should. So, but no question he deserves a D. I think his conduct hasn't been up to scratch and he's not getting minutes for a reason. So yeah, we're talking on the 2nd of January. Will he even be at the club by the time this podcast hits the iTunes charts or whatever it is these days? Who knows? We shall see. But yeah, Backman, he got sent off against Leicester and it meant we had to, Ryan Portis had to go and goal it, and we conceded a penalty. And I think ultimately what was pretty clear is that Valerian Ismail was disappointed with that because obviously Ben Hamer had to come in for the next game because of suspension. But he hasn't had a look in since. Now, what can you do as a goalkeeper to get back in? Not a lot. You just have to keep training and you have to keep working hard and you have to be ready. You'd assume that he'd be getting the nod against Chesterfield in the FA Cup at the weekend. But Ben Hamer hasn't kept a clean sheet since he's come in. I think the last clean sheet we had was against Rotherham at home, and we had a away at Huddersfield the week before that. So Hamer hasn't been keeping clean sheets. But what has been doing is making excellent saves. What he looks to have done is grown and sort of got better. He sort of embraced the role. Whereas Daniel Backman, I think everyone knew his shortcomings, and there was a sort of ever increasing level of criticism for Dan Backman. And I think there were no few Watford supporters that weren't disappointed to see him out of the team. And there's a lot of people that think he's not shouldn't be a number one for a club like Watford. How much of that is down to his sort of perceived talk in the foreign papers from time to time? How much is down to agents and whatnot? Who knows? But yeah, he's basically talked himself out of the team. He was given the captain's armband at the start of the season. those who are of a cup half full persuasion would have said, well, okay, this is a real good opportunity for him to grasp the metal and to look to drive on and force himself to be better and to work on the areas of his game where he's not so good. But he's been sent off twice. There was that, was it against Huddersfield last year?
Yeah.
When he threw
Ninja
the armband
kick.
Down. Yeah, the whole thing just...
Yeah, it was a mayhem end.
Ugly.
And it hasn't gone. That's fact. You know, lessons weren't learned then.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. Yeah, it was petulant. And then his performances haven't necessarily... Good shot stopper, but the rest of his game is potentially lacking. I think what you've got to give him credit for is at the start of the season, Watford were trying to play a very, very different style of football, passing out from the back. So he was dealt a tough hand to deal with there, and I thought he actually dealt with that pretty admirably, and he deserves credit for doing what he was asked to do, obviously being asked to do, when every fibre of his being will probably have been screaming at him to launch the ball, get it clear, because he knows usually what happens when the ball's in Watford's final third. So a bit of mitigating circumstances there, but Val obviously thinks he's let himself down, because he hasn't had a sniff yet. Ben Hamer has made mistakes and Backman still hasn't come back in. So, yeah, it's a difficult situation for him. And I suspect he'll be looking forward to the Chesterfield Cup tie so he can get back in and show what he's made of.
What's probably most disappointing for those two is that they're both part of Val's leadership team, if I remember correctly.
If that's still a thing, if they're part of it and they're not in the best of places, but is that still a thing?
They should be leading by example. And for them to be, okay, what we say isn't doesn't necessarily mean anything. Don't hold any stall by our words. But the fact that we're putting them in as Ds when they should be two players that should be leading by example, and for issues as much around behaviour as performance is very disappointing, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and that's where they are. They are disappointing, and that's where we rated them. But of course, this isn't the end of the season. They can have an amazing second half of the season. Maybe even win player of the season. Who knows? Now, I suppose the large number of people we put in C for can't complain. You've had some moments, good and bad. The fact that this is the biggest section, I think, tells quite a lot about where Watford's season is. And it makes sense for being a mid-championship team at the moment. Of course, Rajovic and Martins are on that list. Sierralta, Bio, Lewis, Porteous, Chakvetadze, Healy, Ngakia and Deli Bashiru. We give them all Cs. Jason, are there any in there that you think, no, I just couldn't give you any higher, couldn't give you better than expected?
I think the Cs, yeah, like you say, sum up where we are. Could we give some in there a bit more
that you would like to have done, maybe?
But I'm not sure if there are any there that I would move now, but I think some that could potentially bounce up into a B. Chakvetadze possibly, because when we've seen him, we have seen some sort of good glimpses from him, but unlike some of the others, we've just not seen enough of them. We've got the three strikers in there, Rajovic, Bio and Healy. Again, none of them have grasped an opportunity to say, I am the main man. You are the striker that is going to be in that starting 11 every week, and the others are going to have to work damn hard to dislodge me. We've not seen that from any of them. Perhaps it's harder for Healy as he seems to be behind the other two. And perhaps that's because of the way he plays and the style of striker he is. But again, there's nothing there that suggests at the moment that you would put him in as a B at the moment. And for the others, it pretty much sums up, like you say, Watford, where we are. We've got, and this probably applies to the other players that are in A, B and D as well, I think, we've got a group of players that when they're on their game and when they're all playing really well, they have potential to play teams off the park in this division. And we've seen that on a few occasions. And okay, they've been against either teams that are at the lower part of the division or teams that are in a bit of a funk. And then at times we've seen them be absolutely dreadful, like the Bristol City game. and it's just that is where Watford are. We've got potentially a good group of players, and you could probably stick all of these guys in there. Martins is another one. Martins, we know he's got the ability, but then teams have worked him out. What he does, he likes to cut inside and shoot. And does he do much else? That's questionable. But we know the talent's there. We know the potential's there. He's another one that could end up being a B, but he needs to do it on the pitch. He needs to do it every week when he plays.
You were going to say there, John Rajovic. I think he stands out for me in as much as he could arguably be a D player. And I think the reason that he's comfortably in C at the moment is because he's got 8 goals, which is, it puts him up in the top sort of at least half of the Championship scoring charts. He's done what he's been put into the side to do.
So are we being harsh on him, being given him a C? Should we give him a B for the goals?
No, we're not.
Because
he should have
going to react that way?
He should have more goals. And what he delivers on the pitch is increasingly concerning, I think. He's not great at hold up. I thought I was most impressed with him against Stoke in terms of that he, and it comes with a bit of a caveat, but what he did do for the first time, he did really start to put himself around, and you saw a little bit of urgency from him. But I think for such a big number nine, he doesn't win much in the air. His hold up play is pretty bad, and his finishing has proved to be a bit hit and miss as well. So he's got to shape up. I think he's a C with a massive asterisk, because I think he's currently a D, but he's managed to sort of scrape through on cramming for his exams in the shape of his goals, basically. Yeah. So there is a lot of pressure on him to... I think we have to be clear that the league he's come from is different and isn't as challenging, isn't as chock full of talent, and it's not played at such a quick pace as the Championship. So he's stepping up a grade, even if he's stepping down a division technically. But he will have a lot to prove for Watford fans, me included. I think we're not getting enough from him. And I think the one who's more likely to go up is Bayo, who... I think he might be doing well by comparison, because compared to Rajovic, you know, we were pretty disdainful of Vakoum Bayo when he came in. I thought his performances were bad, and then there was that. It just didn't feel like a great striker. But now, when you compare him against Mleta Rajovic, he looks so much more dynamic. Still can't finish really, but he looks better, a better option, doesn't he? We're now without him for another 2 games. But yeah, so I think those striking options, Mateus Martins as well, we're just not getting the best out of him. We've got to see them be looking to push up the grades instead of down, because if they go down, they're going to be really bad. Rajovic in particular, I think. I don't know ultimately, the question is he good enough? Is he in the right stream, if you like? Has he been? Should he be demoted to the bottom set, which is a different club in a different league? I just don't know if he's good enough, and until we get the final report at the end of the season, we won't know. It's not beyond the realms that he turns things round, but it's just the way he moves and operates. If he scores 15 goals, it's hard really to argue.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I mean, that was
you know, looking at some of those players there, you know, Healy and Ngakia, Tom Delibashiru haven't really had a chance to do anything more. So there, why we really can't complain. See, Alto, I suppose.
I think we need to mention with Delibashiru, John. We talk about disappointing behaviour from backman and loser as Ds. There's a suggestion we've had a bit of that as well with Delibashiru. I think he was dropped, wasn't he, after turning up late. For training, I think it was earlier in the season.
And what I think I like about him though is that he lost his place, and he's technically still lost his place. The fact that you know that midfield three is quite cemented and quite happy with the fact that though in the last couple of games, and I think he would have been a D if it hadn't been for how I sort of seen him firstly take on whatever role he's been given. The fact that he has been happy to say, "You're going to put me at right back, I'll go there. Do not worry about that. I'll do my bit." And actually, the game against Stoke, he was tearing away. He was putting the effort in. And I suppose he's had that chance to sort of say, yeah, we know you haven't had a you haven't been good at every subject, but you have done fairly well when you have been given a chance. So I suppose if it wasn't for the last few games, he probably would be a D. But I think now, I think that's why we can sort of put him as a C. Sierra was the other one I sort of thought about a little bit because, you know, he did sort of, at the beginning of the year, when Livermore wasn't sort of fit, he sort of stepped up into that role. And when he's been called upon, he hasn't been terrible. But again, it just hasn't quite seen enough of him.
I think for Sierra, he still has this thing. We talk a lot about Porto being a player who goes sort of flying in and sort of dragging himself or being dragged out of position quite easily. Sierra's another one. There's an element of that because he always wants to be so touch tight to the man he's marking and always gets sucked in, makes challenges he shouldn't be doing and sort of giving away easy free kicks. And he's never really got rid of that from his game. If he can get rid of that, then he's one who can climb up through the grades.
The other thing to consider with Sierra is that he has been on occasion asked to play that midfield role as well, yeah. Hasn't he?
When he stepped up.
Yeah, he did. And ultimately, you should be saying that's the least you should expect of a player, that he does what he's told. But we all know that it's difficult to play out of position. Whatever your comfort zone is professionally, if you're asked to do something other than that, it can be challenging. So I think there does need to be a couple of extra marks chucked Sierra's way and Tom Delibashiru's way for playing out of position. But again, you do what you're told as a footballer. The head coach makes the call. He puts you in where you think you can deliver to the team, and you should be doing absolutely everything you can to do that. So shouldn't overplay that, but important to remember with those two that they have been played out of position. And I don't think in either Tom Delibashiru, I think, has found it more difficult than Sierra Alta did in midfield. He does the simple things really easily, just looks for that pass, puts a foot on it. Tom Delibashiru has been found wanting, hasn't he, at right back, as you'd expect, but has provided a little bit of extra stuff. As you said, John, against Stoke, he was pushing forward. Was it at Preston again, the other one where he was deployed there and was able to get us moving again? So, yeah, it's the great thing is none of these players are really, even the probably what we'd argue as the worst player in terms of talent, in terms of Rajovic being a C, at least he's delivered something. At least he's added something. And Jace has sort of alluded to it when going through. And most of them, Jeremy Ngakoue, that feels like a relatively long-term injury. But most of them have got an opportunity to move up, to be better. I don't think we've seen the best of these guys. So that's a positive. That's something that we can hopefully look forward to seeing them improving as opposed to getting worse. I've jinxed it now.
Jamal Lewis is the only other one who doesn't feel like we've seen. I don't know. He has sort of cemented himself as a starter, bar injury. But yeah. It just feels like he's not that he's lost, but we just haven't quite. It's his first choice, but not because of amazing things. You know, when you get someone who's first choice, like, yep, he's got to be in. It's like, well, yeah. He'll be first choice. It hasn't got that feel of being game changer or
no.
Just, you know, dependent on him, where these higher players are.
I think you're right. I think when you see him on the team sheet, you just go, yep, that's what we expected, him in at left back. And I think on occasion he's looked like a really, really decent player. And everyone knows the story. There was big teams in for him. He made that move to Newcastle, which hasn't really worked out. And you can kind of see why. He can catch the eye. I think in terms of him as a personality, I think he's one of these quiet, more introverted players. So you're not going to see him gesturing and boiling over like Porteous or Backman or Bio. That's just not him. But I think he is capable. We know he's capable. But I don't think we've got quite enough out. If you take, we're going to talk about him shortly. If you take Ryan Andrews, for example, on the other side, as the comparison, they're poles apart. And one of them has played significantly less football than the other. One of them has a significantly less reputation than the other. And so what you'd expect from them has been flipped. I think on occasion he's been bullied by attackers, which is disappointing. But there's definitely something there. And it sort of sums Watford up this season. Get him going and get him playing right, and you can see what the fuss is about. He's quick, he's nimble, he can get down the flanks. but it hasn't quite come off for him. And I was surprised to hear how many games he'd played in a row, actually, before he was injured. He played, it might be 16, something like that, in a row, which kind of it perfectly articulates what you were getting at, John. I thought he'd been a bit more in and out of the side than that. I hadn't really noticed, which kind of...
Yeah, it says, kind of why proves, not
be? Yeah, exactly, yeah. But again, if you're not noticing defenders... And you're not doing badly. That's not necessarily a bad thing. But
yeah, but when you're playing the game he plays, where you are defending indeed. And running up and down the wing, you see a little bit more. The Bs, the better than expected and better every week. We went with there's two sort of sides to this, I suppose. There's the young and there's the experienced. Ben Hamer in goal. We've given him a B because he has been far better than we expected. And we've talked a lot about Ben already. I think, you know, yes, he does have his faults. We did see a few of those yesterday. But I suppose I've enjoyed to see him grow and make some fantastic saves as he had to do yesterday against Plymouth. Wesley Hood, who again, as I would say, had the biggest queue, not from all the junior Hornets at the summer open day. I think it was down to the mums wanting a picture. Ryan Andrews, of course, and Asprilla. Mike... I'll let you do the young'uns, because I know you get very excited and they still give you lots of energy in your old age. But we've got Hamer, Jason, who, again, he's been given the captaincy in the absence of Barkman. And I suppose when he's playing next to excitable little puppy Porteous, he has, if you put those things together, it's reason why he has to be more than a C at least, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And he's not been without his issues. Got a couple of, I'd say he's got a couple of goals to his name, hasn't he? In the wrong end.
And season. One very good goal at the other end. We can't, and that's one a good very reason good to give goal. It.
Yeah. Well, you say at the other end, but I think he was probably in the same position almost when he scored at Hull than when he scored the own goal at Coventry, I think.
That's true.
And so, yeah, so that's probably why he's a B. He has had his moments of occasional moment of waywardness. His distribution can be brilliant, that sort of one of a left foot. But the one can also break from time to time. I think I talked about it after the Stoke game, where we were all singing his name after a great tackle, and then before we'd even finished the hoot, he'd given the ball away. So yeah, it can be a bit yin and yang, but generally you do have a sort of, like you say, there's that sort of calm, reasoned performances that you get from him, as opposed to the harum scarum of either Porteous or Sierra going flying in on the man he's marking. And you need that both as a centre back, I think, and as a captain. You need that sort of reasonable, calm demeanour sort of going about your game. And we generally see that from him. And when it's good, as I said, all the others in the seas, when it's good, it looks really good. He's a great tackler of the ball. He's good in the air. He can distribute, which, when that's going well, looks really good with those crossfield balls with that left foot. And we know that's the way sort of Valerian wants to play, distributing from the back. We're not sort of long ball merchants, so he can play a pass. Southampton fans, when he joined, were very quick to tell us all the negatives about him, and they were quick to jump on him when we played him at home and tell us how poor he was.
Really,
I think that's the word he used. They were using rather when they were singing about him, how poor he was. But generally, I think we've had more good than bad from Hoot, and pleased to see him in the team.
Yeah, to there, Mike. I'm going to put you on a bit of pressure here, Michael. Two young lads coming through, about 19. Both of them, I think, still. One is Ryan Andrews, the other one is Asprilla. Now, Michael, who's better? / who is your favourite of those two? Ryan being one of our own, that proud feeling you have, and also Asprilla, just because he's nimble, he's exciting. Which, at this point of the year, who's your favourite?
I think I can answer this quite easily, Ryan Andrews. I think we've gone from Yasser Asprilla being the next cab off the rank working on the basis that he'll be departing for a higher tier of football fairly soon, to now wondering also how long we can keep hold of Ryan Andrews. I think Yasser Espria is a little bit older, right? He's 20. Ryan Andrews is still 19. But what a
they're
baller!
Both
that
very much younger than us, Michael.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you could add them together, and they're still younger than us. But I just love everything about Ryan Andrews. The way he just looks born to do it. He just looks so comfortable in his role. And yes, he had a torrid time against Bristol City, and he will have games where things don't go his way. But everything just looks so natural to him. His pace, his quality, his sort of instinct for the game. We saw that finish away at Plymouth, that sort of just instinctive touch and lob over the goalkeeper. That's at the other end of the pitch. The questions he asks of, it's one of the biggest things I have for us as an attacking force. What questions are we asking of the opposition? And he does that a lot. And I think to see him developing in front of us, knowing full well, you know, the lineage with his dad playing for Watford as well, Wayne Andrew with Ryan coming through the ranks, especially when we've been burned so many times with players leaving before we've had a chance to see them blossom in the first team. Simply put, it's just incredibly exciting to see him develop. You could just, his demeanour, everything about him, he looks serious when he needs to be serious, but also looks like he's enjoying it when it's there to be enjoyed. I just love everything about the lad. I think he's absolutely tremendous. And I can't wait to see how far he goes. I just hope Watford are able to keep hold of him for long enough so that we can really get to enjoy him. Because if he carries on at this trajectory, there will undoubtedly be admiring glances from not just the top end of the Championship, but undoubtedly the Premier League. I personally think he's that good. I think he's great. So if you're forcing me to choose between which is my favourite, I'd go with him, and that's why. But I love Yasser as well. I've always said it. I think he's one that's growing. He's finding the trajectory less steep. He's having to work harder. He's more on a sort of refining nature at the moment, isn't he? He's having to work harder to find his role within the team to a degree, not positionally, but how best to link up, how best we get the best out of Yasser Espria. Because I don't think we do at the moment. Again, he's another one who is clearly supremely talented, supremely confident. I love the way he's growing in strength and his riding challenges and getting used to the sort of rumbustious nature of the Championship. Wonderful to see him in action. I'm not entirely convinced we're getting the best of him, but I think that's a team issue as opposed to an individual issue. But most Championship sides, well, I'd argue every Championship side would want Yasser Espria in their squad, if not their team, and probably plenty of Premier League teams too. So just fantastic to have two such exciting young prospects at the football club. And I just hope we get to see what Ryan Andrews develop in yellow. And I hope we just get to see the best out of Yasser Espria sooner rather than later. But two who could very, very easily, I might be pushing for an A minus, if there's such a thing, for Ryan Andrews, such as the impact been that he's made. But if they're not A's by the end of the season, I think I'll be quite disappointed.
The A's though we've given so far, remember, not A stars, that's only for the Watford away fans. Jason, we've given it to Jake Livermore, Ismail Kone, Kayembe and Ken Semmer. Now, they're all midfielders, Jason, and they have over the second half of this first half of the season, they've cemented their place. And it's, what is it you think that makes them work so well together?
Oh, I think you've got a good mix of experience, a player, or Kayembe, I'm going to say, is he at his peak? Probably around the time when he should be peaking as a player as well. Livermore with the experience, and Kone, a player who sort of burst onto the scene and full of enthusiasm. And that combination seems to work really well. Livermore, when he came in, I think a lot of people were sort of underwhelmed by that signing, whereas actually now he's got himself fit and cemented himself in the team. He's sort of the go-to guy, sort of the base of the midfield every week. He just sort of proven to be a valuable asset, a valuable signing for the team. And sort of, we talk about the defence and sort of their at times frailties. Livermore is there to protect them and has done a pretty decent job of doing that, but also has the ability to distribute and to run with the ball as well and sort of come out of tight spots. And I think the midfield in general, and even some of the players we've already talked about in the other categories, we've got a number of midfielders who are comfortable travelling with the ball. And I think that unlocks a lot of our attacking play. And I think both Kone and Kayembe perfectly capable of that. We've seen them do a lot of that in recent weeks. And the same with Ken, I suppose. Ken,
I think he's lucky to get a B personally.
I was going to say, Mike, I would probably have him, if we're going to have him as an A, probably an A minus.
Yeah.
We know what we get from Ken. We know he is a dependable championship player. His numbers always seem to stack up well in terms of assists. It'll be interesting to see what he is this year. Sometimes the delivery is lacking at times. I think it has been this season. He probably isn't at the same level he was last season.
That's across the board, though, Jace. If we're giving Watford Football Club a grade for delivery, it would be E.
I agree. Yeah, you're right. It's the same with the other players that we talk about. Andrews, we talked about Lewis, how they've been sort of up and down the wing, sort of getting forward into those positions. We talk about Spreer, talk about Martins, what he wants to do, cutting in all the time. And that sort of final delivery across the board, yeah, has been lacking. And Ken has been sort of a similar level, I think, to the others.
But it's just, I think for me, the extra bit, I know exactly what you're saying. I mean, I think some people say Spreer shouldn't be a B, he should be a C. Other people will definitely say, be screaming maybe at us, that Ken Semmer should be a B. But I suppose what he adds, and it's that what we've talked about with Hood a little bit as well, that seniority, that sort of, when you see him on the team sheet, that steady head, the fact that he'll go and change positions. He has flaws, but they all do. And the football club certainly does.
That's why they're Watford
players. He sort of sums up. Yeah, I think it just sums it up a little bit more, Michael. But yeah, maybe I'm just too much of it. Maybe he's one of my class favourites. I'm giving him too high a grade.
I think there's definite potential for that. I think Edo Kayembe, obviously, we're going to miss him now. He's on his way to the African
that
Cup.
That says why he's got an A, because we're going to miss him when he goes to Africa.
Yeah. Come to the fore with goals. I think he was getting closer and closer, hitting the woodwork, and now he's finding the net relatively regularly for a Watford midfielder. Another lovely sharp finish at Home Park against Plymouth. Really, really smartly taken goal, and he looks every inch the player that we potentially hoped we'd sign when we originally got him. And you mentioned Ismail Kone as well. I think the thing that gets him an A is his just continued development. I think the one thing that is still hampering him slightly, I think he needs that split second too long. He will take a touch before moving the ball on and releasing it down the flanks or picking that final pass. I think he can.
To jump in, I think the thing with Kone as well, and it seems to be harsh since we've given him an A, but sometimes he makes that wrong decision. But that's, again, it comes down to experience, doesn't it? He's been, a season and a half of professional football, and that will come. That will come. And we've seen him get better. And that will change. Sorry, Mike, carry on.
No, not at all. I think you're absolutely right. And I think that, like you say, it comes with inexperience. He's coming up to speed with a tremendously difficult league to play football in a not perfect team. So he's having to deal with a lot of factors surrounding him. So to develop the way he has, it's sort of like when you read a book and you start reading the first couple of chapters, think, oh, I'm not really going to crack this. I'm not really getting it. I'm not feeling it. Should I stick with it? And then all of a sudden you turn the page, you read another cut, and I get it. And it seems like that's what's happening with Ismail Kone. We talked about Edo Kayembe adding goals to his repertoire, while Kone is doing exactly the same and absolutely sublime.
Sublime?
That's a combination of superb and sublime, by the way, sublime. But yeah, it was a worldie. It was an absolutely glorious finish from Kone at Plymouth, and he's adding that to his game. And I feel comfortable with him in that A department because of it's just that development is happening at pace now. And those things that we've highlighted, Jason and I have highlighted, the slightly negative things, they will come with time. They will come with experience. They'll come with the added confidence. And they will come with the added confidence of playing consistently with the same unit around him. But unfortunately, we're going to miss Kayembe, but hopefully we will get one of the other guys who's got an A, Livermore, will be able to play. He's the captain.
Yeah.
I don't care who's wearing the armband. Jake Livermore is Valerian Ismail's lieutenant on the pitch. The way he corrals his own players and gives them credit when it's needed and gives them a chin up when it's needed. He makes sure the ref know he's there in not quite a John Eustace way, but he lets the ref know that, come on, you need to be at a certain level. You need to be looking out for this. You need to be looking out for that. He's everywhere. And his stature, not just physically, but metaphorically as well, is big. He's in charge out there. And all that experience is really starting to come to the fore. And it shows what a canny signing it was. And again, it sort of just adds to, if there is a negative about how well Jake Livermore's played, it's the slight frustration that we didn't manage to get him last year, because what a difference he could have made in that side. But I just love his presence. I think it's really, really important to this side. And with those other midfielders that we've talked about coming to the fore, it's all happening quite nicely. So that the AFCON break is a bit of a shame, really.
It's the thing about getting moments with Jake. And I go back to junior Hornet events. You just see them slightly differently at junior Hornet events. And we went to the Christmas one, and a lot of the players came. They did their thing. They chatted to them. But when Jake turned up, he was a bit later. But he turned up. And he's just having what you would just call normal conversations. Just straight away, he's there chatting to people like, "Oh, are you old mates?" And that just that warmness, which, yeah, I know does come from a little bit of age and the ability that he can speak, English, and all the boys are as fluent because of background and stuff. But it just felt like you said, everything you said there about what he is on the pitch, just saw it outside the pitch. And you imagine, and that, I think when I see them at those Junior Hornets events, I think, oh, that's what you're probably like also in the changing room. And it's quite fascinating to sort of see what he's done. By the way, these are my gradings. You don't have to agree with me, an A for Ken. We can make him a B, better than expected.
I think I'm going to push for him to be a B. Okay. And Jace, that means you get the deciding. Yeah.
Should we make him, because I said let's make him an A minus, but should we make him a B plus?
I think so. Okay. I think look, he's King Ken. He is brilliant for Watford, yeah, and I wouldn't be without him. But have his performances been as sort of important as eye-catching as the others in that category? Not sure. So a B plus plus.
Careful.
Just not an A, everybody.
B plus.
So the biggest grading we need to talk about and we need to think about is Valerian himself and where we think he has done and what job he's done so far as Watford manager. I did look this up on the Watford FC archive.co.uk. He has now managed more games than Dave Bassett. Definitely more games than Chris Wilder and Hodgson. Not quite as many as Slav Djukanovic, but definitely more than Ivic. I'm not going to use the word settled quite yet, Mike, because if there's ever such a thing in a Watford manager slash head coach. But what grade are you giving Valerian from A, what he took over, and where we are now at this halfway point of the season?
I maintain that he has probably got the weakest squad of the Pozzo era in terms of talent and depth. I think on the flip side of that, he's benefiting from taking over at a time when potentially there's a slight shift in the level of expectation. I don't think even Gino Pozzo would expect to be at the top of the table with the competition that there is. So I think that level of expectation has been lowered accordingly. He's adapted. So he started trying to play a particular way, and when the wheels came off there, he's adjusted. I think there was a propensity to throw loads of mud at the wall and see what sticks in terms of the substitutions earlier on in the season. There was a very rigid changes on the hour mark, and that didn't necessarily work. And I think he's moved away from that with the one change in that being the Bristol City game where it chucked a load on and it was just a mess. So I've been impressed. I think I like the way he conducts himself. I like the way he handles himself. Like the fact he's obviously got a bit of fire in his belly, picking up the occasional booking on the sideline. I don't mind that at all. So I think he's done pretty well. And I'm happy with Valerian Ismail as Watford manager. I think we definitely need to tighten up defensively. We just need to work harder on that, and whether that's shape or whether it's getting your defenders to understand what their roles and responsibilities are. But I think I'm pretty comfortable giving him a pretty solid B, considering everything that he's had to deal with. The results of late, we're still sort of. It's a funny time, isn't it? Because we had that little run of really good away results that I do think flattered to deceive. Then we've had Christmas where everyone, you know, joy to all men and goodwill and all that nonsense. So we're all sort of feeling a little bit soft around the edges and probably more willing to be a bit more forgiving. So I think a B is reasonable. I feel free to talk me out of it, but I think there have been mitigating circumstances and I think he's dealt with them pretty well.
Jace, do you agree with the B?
I agree with the B. Yes, I was going to say the same. I think some of the points that Mike said, absolutely. The sort of premeditated almost substitutions that we kept seeing that seemed to disrupt the pattern of play when we were looking okay in some games. You sort of question that and could he be a bit more flexible? Like you say, he does seem to have been. What I do like about him, a couple of things. I think one, the sort of disciplinarian in him, and perhaps it's not to some people's taste or liking that he's come out and mentioned when players have been dropped because of a lack of discipline and lateness and sort of the rules of the team. But I like that. I think I like that transparency. And I think it makes it clear to the players that he is in charge, as he should be.
That's massive. That's absolutely massive, that point, Jace. Because what happened last year and what's happened so many times before is that the players have been in charge. They've either turned it in and we've got a new head coach in. The transparency is great. This is why he's not playing. This is what he's done. And this is the punishment. So it's a message to us as supporters and it's a message to the rest of the team. And I think it probably should be at the top of the list, actually, that discipline, because we know what the place was like. We could see what it was on the pitch. It was a mess. So for him to come in and stamp that on, stamp his authority within the club, is probably not easy, bearing in mind the sort of power structure that there is there with Gino and previously Cristiano Giretta and people like that who seem to rule the place with an iron fist. So for him to come in and be able to do that, especially with Imran Lusa, one of the supposed crown jewels, to effectively freeze him out because he's, you know, acting poorly, is no small thing. So, yeah, I'd absolutely make you right on that. And that potentially should be at the top of his Watford achievement. Sorry to butt in.
No, that's all right. That's all right. And sort of following on from that as well, I think he's not adverse to a bit of self-criticism as well. It's not all about him. He's not in charge or sort of ruling the roost to the point where he never accepts responsibility sort of publicly. There have been some times where he's come out and said, when things haven't gone wrong, that it's been on him. I think it was Middlesbrough at home where we tried something different in terms of formation and got it completely wrong, and I think he held his hands up after that one. Again, so that's a few months since then, and like you say, we've had Christmas since, so something might have played tricks in my memory, but pretty sure that was it. Again, it's sort of, it's that transparency, but it's that, okay, yeah, I'm in charge, but I'm not going to heap everything on the players. I hold my hands up, I will get things wrong from time to time, and this sort of admitting to that publicly. I like that. And again, it's sort of that transparency. I think that's key, a key quality to have.
So we find ourselves for a week off the league, but not a week off winning football matches, because it's the FA Cup. The magic of the FA Cup. Yes, I was the first person to say it this year. I don't know if you've got a bingo card anywhere, anybody. But we'd love a cup run. It can mean a huge, huge thing for any team in what it does. It's Chesterfield. We know they're rocking in the National League. And we'll see how and who is picked. My gut says, Mike, I don't think it's going to be the all-out put the youth on.
No, I don't. I think everything that we've spoken about, all the best things about this Watford side has been this sort of togetherness and the putting the bodies on the line, doing what it takes to, if you can't win, at least get the draw. And that momentum has been very, very hard fought, very, very hard earned. And I don't think you want to throw away the goodwill that is definitely developing between the Watford supporters and the team again. Valerian Ismail was very, very, I think it was the first thing he mentioned after the Stoke game, was to talk about the crowd and how they played a part. And that hasn't happened for a little while. And you've seen these away followings growing and growing and growing. Massive amount down to Plymouth. QPR, as you'd expect, sold out. Bristol City, loads going there. So I think there will be a desire to keep this lorry moving forward. And you can't do that. You can't risk against it. We know that winning is a habit. We've seen the wheels have come off a little bit for Ipswich since they came up. But they're only drawing games, not losing them. They were able just to keep winning with very, very similar squad to what they had last year in League One. And it just breeds confidence. And Chesterfield will be absolutely bang up for it. They've sold out their, certainly the allocation that we've given them. I don't think it's the full away end, but they've sold out 3,500 tickets or so. So there'll be a vociferous following there. They've got absolutely nothing to lose. This one's all on us. And I love the FA Cup as well. And I'm sure there are people out there who would argue that, right, we need to concentrate on the league. The squad's thin enough as it is. But we know how good it can be. An away tie in the next game. There's nothing like the FA Cup. Knockout football is superb. But I think the biggest thing that this game provides is an opportunity for us to keep that momentum going. And I do not think Val will want to surrender it. I think there will be changes through necessity. He's been open about players operating in the red zone and needing a rest. Kayembe won't be there, obviously, because he's the other side of the world. And there'll be others who will be rested. But initially, I thought there would be wholesale changes. But I think that would be too big a risk to what we're trying to build and trying to achieve this season. So I think there will be a smattering of youngsters. But I think it will be a largely recognisable team because Valerian Ismail will want to win the game and will not want to risk throwing away some of what they've worked so hard to achieve.
By the way, Africa is not the other side of the world, Mike. That's terrible geography. It's just a bit south.
Okay. Thank you very much. You're right to pull me up on it. I did, as I said it, I thought that's very lazy.
Is that a D for Mike and his geography?
Geography, yeah, definitely geography. Yeah. Thank you very much, right. Michael.
You're more than welcome. Happy New Year to you, John, and to you, Jess.
And Happy New Year, Jason.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everyone. Thank you.
We're back, of course, after the Chesterfield game for some sort of FA Cup chat. Guys, I might bring back one of my classic FA Cup quizzes. You never know. Don't get too excited. Come on, you horns!